Christ Presbyterian Church is a local congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America. Visit us for morning or evening worship in Mobile, Alabama, or on the web at cpcmobile.com.
Good morning. I am not going to continue taking us through the book of Jonah this morning. However, I did notice that on the bulletin cover this morning, it says salvation comes from the Lord, and providentially that will be the main theme of our message this morning. We will be looking at the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, and the first 14 verses. Please take your Bible and turn to Ezekiel chapter 37. And if you would stand with me as I read, I will be reading this morning from the New American Standard version, but please follow along with me. Ezekiel 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. He caused me to pass among them round about, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and lo, they were very dry. He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, Prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you that you may come to life. I will put sinews on you, make flesh grow back on you, cover you with skin and put breath in you that you may come alive and that you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, sinews were on them, and flesh grew and skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may come to life. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them. And they came to life and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried up and our hope has perished. We are completely cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves, my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves and caused you to come up out of your graves, my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you will come to life, and I will place you on your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and done it, declares the Lord. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we ask now that your Spirit would lead us through your word, that you would open our hearts to receive it. Lord, I pray that you would take the words that I have prepared and have them be received according to your will. Help us, worship you as we sit under your word. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Ezekiel was among the Jews exiled to Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar in 597 BC. He lived among them and was called to be a prophet at the very start of this book, back in chapter 1, in the first three verses. Much of what Ezekiel was called to preach to his people were words of divine judgment against them for defiling themselves by turning to idols and seeking their security from surrounding nations rather than from their God. They defiled the temple, the holy city, and the land that God had given to them. Eventually, news comes from the land that they had left of the fall of Jerusalem. And Ezekiel's message then turns more to words of comfort and compassion, consolation and hope for the Jews. They would in time come to experience revival, restoration, and a glorious future as redeemed people of God. While Ezekiel spoke directly to the chosen people of his day, his words given to him by inspiration through the Holy Spirit of God are as much for us today. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He remains an incomprehensibly holy God who lives, who works in the lives and hearts of his people today. And the people of God today are also called to be holy. As 1 Peter 3:15 says, we are called to sanctify or to set apart Christ as Lord in our hearts, that we might be ready to make a defense to everyone who asks us to give an account for the hope that is in us. As Christians, our hope is not in our own works, but in what Christ has done for us. This morning, I want us to take a look at this vision of the Valley of Dry Bones that the Lord gave to Ezekiel and see what it tells us of the way that God works in his people today. We begin with Ezekiel telling us that the hand of the Lord was upon him and that he was brought out by the Spirit of the Lord to the middle of a valley filled with bones. We get the picture of these bones being scattered about on the surface of the valley, and Ezekiel was made to pass among them, and they were very dry. What we have here are piece parts of human beings, but these people are dead. They're not buried, but are scattered about on the surface of the earth, and Ezekiel is surrounded by them. He's walking among them. We're told later in verse 11 that these bones are the whole house of Israel. If we take a larger view, all the sons of Adam except for Christ began their existence as dead as these dry bones. Romans 5:12 tells us that just as through one man, and that one man referring to Adam, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. And 1 Corinthians 15:22 tells us that in Adam all die. So it is with all mankind apart from Christ. They are dead in their sins and trespasses. But those individuals from among both Jews and Gentiles who are adopted by God are made alive by his Spirit and washed in the blood of Christ by faith. They are made into, as Galatians 6:16 puts it, they are made into the Israel of God. We have been grafted into the covenant vine. So the Lord asks Ezekiel a question. As he looks at these dry bones, he says, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And Ezekiel answers, "O Lord God, you know." This morning I will ask you a similar question. Will someone that you witnessed to come to know life in Christ? In other words, can that pile of dead bones that you witnessed to live? There is only one who knows, and it is the same one and the only one who can bring about that resurrection from death to life, the Lord God, our Creator and our Redeemer. So the Lord tells Ezekiel to preach to the bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 1:21, the apostle tells us, For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. From this statement of Paul's, we can understand two things. First, that the world cannot come to know God through its own wisdom. We have, as has the rest of mankind, been trying to make our own gods by our own imaginings ever since the fall. In order to have a god or gods that we can control. As a human race, we have tried to worship any number of created things, such as the sun, the moon, particular animals, the basic elements of earth, wind, fire, water. We continue today to make gods of our own devices, and they are all, of course, false gods. Secondly, God was well pleased to save his people through a word and by a means that the world at large views as foolishness. The world cannot come to know God by any other means than that by which God has ordained. He must reveal himself and the truth of the gospel by his Spirit in order for those hearing the message to believe it. In verse 5, Ezekiel begins preaching the word of God to the bones. He says, Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, that you may come to life. I will put sinews on you, make flesh grow back on you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, that you may come alive, and you will know that I am the Lord. Even though Ezekiel is the one bringing the message to the bones, who is the one at work here? In God's own words, he says, I will cause breath to enter you that you may come to life. I will put sinews on you. I will make flesh grow back on you. I will cover you with skin, and I will put breath in you that you may come alive. Now, I've added the last three I wills for emphasis. But they are understood by the structure of the sentence. Look at your Bibles. Don't ever let a preacher mislead you as to what Scripture says, what is actually written in God's Word. Be like the Bereans who, while they received the Word with great eagerness, they also examined the Scriptures daily to see whether the things preached by Paul were so. And what was the purpose of bringing these bones to life? Was it so all their problems would go away or so they could obtain health and wealth? The message from the Lord tells us they will come alive so that they may know that the great I am is the Lord. There is only one. If we look around us at many of the people we know, or if we listen to the news, or we hear what is being taught in schools and universities today, both in our country and around the world, we would never know that our Creator God, the God of the Bible, the one who became man in Jesus Christ and dwells within each saved person by his Spirit, that he is the Lord. This knowledge comes to a person by the sovereign working of God. The Apostle Paul tells us in his letter to the Colossians, beginning in chapter 2, that there is a wealth, there is a treasure, and it comes from knowing the truth about God. Paul writes, "For I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf, and for those who are at Laodicea, and for all those who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." The wealth and treasure of Christianity is true knowledge of Christ. As Jesus is praying to the Father in his high priestly prayer in John 17:3, he says, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Well, Ezekiel tells us what happened next. Look at verse 7. "So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to its bone, and I looked, and behold, sinews were on them, and flesh grew, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. And then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may come to life.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they came to life, and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army." The progressive nature of the bones coming to life shows us a process through which God is working. If you look back at the way that you came to the Lord, you might, as I do, see a process that gradually unveiled your eyes. You were providentially placed in the right situation, perhaps. You encountered or were encountered by the right circumstances, though they may have been hard providences. By some means, you were presented with the gospel. Whether it was preached, or you read it, or a friend told you, and your interest was piqued. But there was a work that neither you nor a preacher or a friend had any part in. You were breathed on by the breath of God. You were made alive by the Spirit of Christ and enabled to believe the truth that was presented to you. In the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 43, Jesus asked the Jews who were questioning him, "Why do you not understand what I'm saying?" And then he tells them, "It is because you cannot hear my word." Dead people cannot hear the word of truth. Beginning in verse 11 of our passage, the Lord explains to Ezekiel more of what he's doing. He says, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried up and our hope has perished. They are completely cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves, my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves and caused you to come up out of your graves, my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you will come to life, and I will place you on your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and done it, declares the Lord." God is jealous for the honor of his name. He will not abide one of his creatures taking credit for his work. In Isaiah chapter 42, verses 5 through 9, we read, "Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and its offspring, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will also hold you by the hand and watch over you. And I will appoint you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nations, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon, and those that dwell in darkness from the prison. I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things have come to pass. Now I declare new things. Before they spring forth, I proclaim them to you. In this passage of our text and throughout the whole scripture, God makes plain the fact that he is the author of salvation. He is the one who brings it to pass. If we turn back in Ezekiel just one chapter to chapter 36 and begin reading with verse 20, we will see not only God's concern for his name, but the work of God in the salvation of his people. Please look with me at this. I want you to see it. Ezekiel chapter 36, beginning at verse 20. When they came to the nations where they went, they profaned my holy name because it was said of them, these are the people of the Lord, yet they have come out of his land. But I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations where they went. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you went. I will vindicate my holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when I prove myself holy among you in their sight. For I will take you from the nations, gather you from all the lands, and bring you into your own land. And continuing in verse 25, he says, then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. You will live in the land that I gave to your forefathers. So you will be my people, and I will be your God. The world does not acknowledge that God is doing anything. Why? There are a number of reasons. The first is that they are dead and therefore blind and deaf to the gospel apart from the sovereign working of God. They will never know him. Another is because the church, particularly in the West, does not demonstrate to the world that they are the possession of the Lord. We often fail to value what Christ has done for us in a way that is evident to the world at large. Christians in lands under more severe persecution are standing for Christ, sometimes even to death. They refuse to give God's glory to another. What more can we do? We can have pity on the unbelieving world. We should see them as very dry bones scattered about the earth, with no life in them. It was easy for Ezekiel to know what to do. God was coaching him all the way. But we have something that Ezekiel didn't have. We have a more complete knowledge of the means of salvation of dead people. We can lift up Christ Jesus and him crucified for our sins. We can share with others what Christ has done for us. God uses means. Perhaps if we are faithful to not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ before the world, he might be pleased to use even us as instruments in someone else's life. As we referred earlier to what the Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 3, I want to expand on that, and we'll close with this. From 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 13 through 18. Peter writes, "Who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. And keep a good conscience, so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. For it is better, if God should will it so, that you suffer for doing what is right rather than for doing what is wrong. For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. To God be all the glory. Amen."